You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review on Monocle 24. I'm Tom Edwards. Today we're heading for the bright lights of the West End for our fortnightly theatre review. Taking the lead role, I'm delighted to say, is The Times' Dominic Maxwell. And we have three productions on offer today that include a slapstick heist, a classic musical, and a microchip woman with memory loss. All that ahead on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Dominic. Great to see you.
Hello.
As always. Well, lots to get through, so let's begin. At the Criterion Theatre for the comedy about a bank robbery, which I'm assuming is essentially exactly that.
Yeah, it describes itself very well. It's by Mischief Theatre, who have also done self-describing shows such as The Play That Goes Wrong and Peter Pan Goes The Peter Pan That Goes Wrong. Those two were very much based on the one idea of, well, of things going wrong, and they did it very well, but I got a little bit, I mean, they're hugely popular, I got a little impatient with both of those, because I thought, yeah, okay, you're going wrong. No, I may start to try and make them go right, but they didn't. Anyway, they're 2 years in the West End. What do I know? The comedy about a bank robbery is properly hilarious, and actually, comedy is so hard. When you think how many really, genuinely, properly, clutch-aside, funny comedy plays there are, it's barely any. I mean, I think this is the funniest since One Man, Two Governors.
Oh, high praise indeed. Now, tell us a bit about the sort of the mechanics, because they're quite well-known, as you've already described, for quite a sort of improv approach to their scripting, that kind of thing. Is this a similar sort of structure? Is it identifiably part of the family?
It is. It's very verbal. But it's also, it's very verbal, but it's also very physical. It's sort of clowning meets Airplane, meets Pulp Noir, meets Ray Cooney. It's okay. Everything. It's
I'm liking the sound of this, I've got to be honest.
Well, it's devoted. It's absolutely devoted to making you laugh. That's its only reason to exist there, which is good and bad. I mean, the bad thing is, at the moment it stops being funny, it's got no reason to exist, of course, you know, as we know from films like Airplane. They're either brilliant or they're nothing. I'd say this one is pretty much, to my surprise and delight, pretty much brilliant throughout.
Okay, and what about if people say, hey, yeah, I quite like comedy, but I also like a heist story, I like a bit of rip-roaring adventure. Are they going to be slightly, if not disappointed, they might be a bit surprised by what they
yeah,
find?
It's got enough of a story to hang, and it's very densely plotted. I mean, it's both insequential and very dense in the sense that there's all sorts of plots and subplots that come and reoccur, but it doesn't really matter. There is one, the best bit of it is one 20-minute bedroom sequence. And you've seen Bedroom Fast before, but you've never seen it quite. This is dialed up to 11. I can't tell you how much I admire these people.
Excellent. Now, I always like to know, especially or discuss or speculate, I suppose, about things that are primed for big successes. I sense from what you're describing this will be. How exportable these things are. You know, is this a sort of a quintessentially British piece of theatrical fun, or is it something that, yeah, maybe has life beyond this, the stage it's on now?
That's very interesting. They're doing American accents. It's set in small town America, or Minnesota, I think, in the 50s. So they're taking an American form. So it could certainly go to America. In terms of playing to an international audience, well, like I say, it's very physical, but there is a lot of wordplay, and the wordplay starts, you know, immediately, wham, wham, wham. So I think this is probably ideally for an English-speaking audience, but there are things in there. There is a bit where the entire set tilts up 90 degrees. There are things like that that anyone's going to like.
Okay. And what about the variation? Because we mentioned it's quite improv-heavy, very sort of text-driven. There's a lot of cleverness. Does that mean that you can see quite a different show from one day to the next, even?
I think the improv, there used to be an improv company, and it may well be that they use improv to get the ideas together. But what is up there is, as far as I can see, too tight.
It's really tight.
Very, the cues are going to be very tight. I doubt there's an awful lot of improv night by night.
Fantastic. Well, that's a pretty bright start, isn't
it? Yes.
The comedy about a bank robbery is on at the Criterion Theatre, and it's an extended run. It's on until the 27th of April 2017. Let's move on, shall we, Dominic, to the Donmar Warehouse, where on stage we have Elegy, which follows the relationship between two women who've been married for 20 years when one of them, Lorna, loses the last 25 years of her memory after brain surgery. Not quite a routine surgery, though, Dominic. Is it safe to say?
Yeah, we slowly learn, because this is the narrative pretty much goes backwards on this, then loops back on itself. And we find out as it goes along that the character played by Zoe Wanamaker has, I think it's not stated what it is, but we assume it's dementia or perhaps a disease that's going to enfeeble her and going to mean her partner, played by Barbara Flynn, is going to spend the rest of her life being her carer. And at some point, and like I say, the narrative isn't straightforward, the Barbara Flynn character effectively has to decide, because she's the only one left for compos mentis, whether she's going to do this surgery, which will probably save her wife, but will cut out, as you say, 25 years of her memory. And it's a fantastic, basically a sci-fi, let's call it, a sci-fi setup. And it's really interesting. It is really interesting, I would say, for about 40 minutes. It's a 70-minute play, so it's not long. But it's very ideas-led, which isn't to say that the dialogue isn't good. It's good. It's terrific. But it's one of those plays where I felt it's so based on that idea, I thought he probably could have done it in about 40 minutes and maybe paired it with something else rather than putting it on its own.
And is that, I don't know, that's interesting. Is that partly because it's tackling, you know, there's some pretty hefty, heavyweight stuff in here. You're talking about, you know, love and illness and science and scientific progress. Is it that it's... Well, it's not almost not that it's too much to squeeze in if you could do it more economically. I don't know. Why do you think that is?
I think it's one of those plays that, you know, we're discussing the premise here, and I'm not saying there isn't more than that in the play. There is. But the play itself is more or less setting out its premise. And it's explaining its premise, and it's kind of roping us into the mental confusion by playing the narrative backwards. I think what it doesn't really do, what it didn't do for me, is make it very moving. I mean, of course, I cared for them. How could you not? But we didn't find out that much about them. We didn't find out that much about them beyond the ideas they're there to represent. And I think that's fine. I think it's fine if a play should be like that. But I just think 70 minutes was too much of it.
What about some of the protagonists? Because you've mentioned Barbara Flynn and Zoe Wanamaker's, and they've got a high praise actually for the actors.
No, it's beautifully planned.
But a relatively young writer. I think, you know, Nick Payne is in his early 30s, perhaps
something like that.
Fairly precocious. I mean, all standouts. I mean, he clearly one to watch, but Barbara Flynn, Zoe Wanamaker, you know, veterans, I think, of the stage. But all doing great work.
They're great. They shaded in beautifully. Nina Sasanya as the doctor pioneering this technique. Again, great. And Nick Payne has some previous in this kind of stuff. He did Neurology, I think it was, in Incognito a couple of years ago. Most successfully, he did Rom-Com meets Astrophysics in Constellations, which went to the West End and to Broadway. So, you know, there's no one you trust more, really, to sort of tackle this kind of thing and make it human and make it interesting. So it's a cavil, really. I would, you know, having been a little restless through some of it, it's one of those plays that's sort of played out in my head since. So I'm really glad I've seen it, and I would recommend it. But it's a short story rather than a novel.
And just before we move on, I want to ask you briefly about the staging, because I know that the set has had some very, very positive remarks about it. More good work.
Oh, it's beautiful, yes. There's this split tree in a glass case. You know, classic Donmouth. It's just nice to sit there, to be honest. It's like being in an installation, just looking at that thing.
Very agreeable. Yes. You can experience that feeling for yourself. Elegy is on at the Donmar until the 18th of June. Dominic, let's motor through. We'll end at the Savoy Theatre for a revival of the musical Funny Girl, which brought us classic Broadway songs, Don't Rain on My Parade, amongst them. It's seen, one of the new darlings of the West End, Olivier Award winner Sheridan Smith, take up the lead role of Fanny Bryce, at least until recently, when she took this sort of well-covered in the tabloids leave of absence due to stress, which is, well, we can talk about that in a second. Her replacement, though, has been Natasha Barnes, who's, again, done very, very well and received lots of good reviews. Is it interesting to compare performances, or should we try and avoid doing that when this sort of thing happens?
I think it is interesting to compare them, and I think partly because they're two such different performances. Sheridan Smith, let's not be too hyperbolic, but I'd call her a comedy genius. I mean, she has that kind of magnetism. She has that kind of extraordinary ability. She has chops, but she has that ability that a great comic has to connect with the crowd. And she's playing a great comic performer. And in the first half of this, and I've seen it twice with her, she has that amazing ability not only to totally convince as Fanny Bryce, this New York entertainer from the first half of the beginning of last century, but just to make you feel like it's just you and her. You know, it's just that sort of complicity between you. It's wonderful. And then in the second half, when the focus goes more to her romantic life and to her troubled marriage, yeah, it's okay, but it's less interesting. You want to see her back on the stage doing what she does best. Now, with Natasha J. Barnes, it's completely the other way around. I said in my review, I think it's more like if they called it Bittersweet Girl, it would be nearer the mark. Because she's, you know, she's good, she's adept at the comedy, but she doesn't have that amazing X factor that Sheridan Smith has. So for the first half, you're sitting there thinking, yeah, okay. But what she does have is an ability to be, because she doesn't have that sort of superhuman talent, or not in, in a comic sense in the same way, when she gets vulnerable, and when she sings, because she's a musical theatre pro, when she sings songs like People and Don't Rain on My Parade, she cuts you to the quick in a way that, absolutely no offence to Sheridan Smith, she doesn't quite. And actually, it's a show that sings loudest in its second half, and it completely changes the way I experience the story, even though, you know, the lines are exactly the same, and they're not poles apart exactly, but just by these little nuances, it made it a completely different experience.
And I guess, I'd imagine what you'd say as a result of what you've just said is that then theatregoers should enjoy those different facets. They should enjoy the shifting nuance. Because it's been interesting, there's been some publicity, some people saying, well, hang on a minute, if I'm seeing this show and Sheridan's not in it, you know, should I get a discount? We've seen this elsewhere in the West End recently, of course. What's your take on that kind of idea?
Ish. I mean, I think you're just getting a very different read. Sheridan Smith is special. And I wouldn't say she overshadows the play. I don't think she does do that. But I think you're getting a more rounded sense of the play if you see it with Natasha J. Barnes. And I think you're getting perhaps a more phenomenal, primarily comic, but not just comic, turn from Sheridan Smith if you see that. So, listen, I mean, it's £100 or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, up the huge prices, whatever. So people are paying to see Sheridan Smith. I'd be annoyed if I'd pay to see Sheridan Smith. I'm very lucky in that I've seen it with both, and both have plenty to offer.
So people just need to keep going.
Not to sit on the fence.
People need to keep going until they've seen. Well, on that subject, do we know about Sheridan Smith's sort of stress and this sort of thing? Do we know when she might be back or if she's going to be coming back?
Yeah, I just know what you know, which is that last week they'd issued a notice saying she would be off for 2 to 4 weeks. I don't know what I can say, and I have no special insight on her private life, but having seen her twice, she doesn't leave anything in the dressing room.
Well, I was going to go on and ask you about this and say, is it understandable when somebody is giving so much themselves in a performance that, you know, that's hot, it's really, really hard work.
It is hard work.
We shouldn't
work.
Be so unforgiving.
No, no,
or,
I think...
certain sections of the press or the public should be maybe a little more understanding.
Yeah, no, I think it is an extraordinary performance she gives. And both times she was in tears at the end. And both times, she just packs so much comedy and so much humanity into every moment. You know, if you're going to get special things like that, you've got to cut them a bit of slack. How much slack, that's, you know, who knows. But I think if you saw her, you'd understand why it takes a toll. And, you know, perhaps you have to be a highly strung person to be able to perform.
To crest like that. Fascinating stuff, Dominic. Funny Girl is on at the Savoy Theatre until the 8th of October. That's all we've got time for. It's absolutely raced by. Thanks to Dominic Maxwell for being our guest today on the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Tom Edwards. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be getting to grips with some of May's non-fiction literary releases. Join us for that. But from now, goodbye from me. Thanks very much for tuning in.